since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're back one more segment here on Drive Time Sports on this Wednesday afternoon. Again, coming up tonight, the Utah Jazz, Los Angeles Clippers. Massive game in terms of the Western Conference standings. Right now, a half game really separating these two teams. We'll talk about that. We'll also maybe toss some questions about the trade deadline to our next guest, James Holas, half of the Dunk Tales pod, kind enough to join us each week, typically on Monday, but we ship things over to Wednesday since the Jazz ate up our time on Monday afternoon. James, always a pleasure to get you on.
Look at you being kind and not throwing me under the bus, because I totally flubbed reaching out to you about the time we're supposed to start. Thank you. Thank you for not letting the world know what a bum I am.
You know what? It's totally fine. I try to hide what kind of a bum I am as well. So, you know what? We're on the same page here. James, massive game tonight, Utah and the Clippers. And I was talking about this earlier on in the show. If we go back to, let's say, October, I'm looking at teams on paper. And I don't know if there's a deeper team of the Western Conference than the Los Angeles Clippers. Hasn't come to fruition this year for a number of reasons. But yeah, I distinctly remember in October looking at it and saying, you know what? It's going to be a tough team to beat in the Western Conference. Has not been the case. They enter tonight's game losers of 8-10.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're probably the deepest, like 1 through 10, 11, as far as quality guys. But the issue is their top two guys are in and out of the lineup so much. I think it's hindering the progress of the whole team developing chemistry and like rhythm, and it shows, right? Because even when they have all those guys in the lineup, they might have a stretch of about 5 minutes where they look unbeatable, and then they have a stretch where they look like they don't know what basketball is. So my co-host JP has been beating that drum heavy about how there's no continuity and there's no rhythm and there's no kind of focus as a team, and that's what it seems to be.
You know, I hate to call out individual players when it gets to that point. The coach is the one, right? Players win, coaches lose. That's typically the saying goes. But when you look at PG and Kawhi, how much of that continuity and the aspect of a team that's kind of lost right now, how much can you actually put on them? Because in my mind, I'm looking at it and saying, you know what? This franchise was built around these two. It was an exciting summer the year the Clippers were able to land these two. And for a number of reasons, injuries being the most prominent, it hasn't worked.
Yeah, they basically pushed all their chips in on PG and Kawhi, which, you know, hey, I think most franchises would have done the same, you know, 10 out of 10 times. It's all about injury. That Kawhi missed a whole season and a half, basically, with that knee. That threw him off. PG is always going to miss, you know, 5 to 10 game blocks with various strains and ankle stuff. So it's tough. They did the best they could as far as putting talent around those guys. But that's like buying a high-level car and then your engine blows, right? Doesn't matter how great the wheels are, how high-tech the transmission is. If the engine's not, you know, up to snuff, then you're dead in the water. And that's what we are with the Clippers.
Yeah, no question. No question. On the flip side, every time I want to throw some dirt on the Utah Jazz, they might have managed to reel off a couple of big wins. I mean, they had one again on Monday with the Timberwolves. This is a team that I still cannot peg, James, what direction they roll over the next 2 weeks. I still believe this team has several valuable trade assets, but at this stage, you're a top 8 team of the Western Conference. Over under at the beginning of the year, we were looking at 25 wins for this team. 47 games into the season, they're there already. The next 2 weeks, so interesting from a Jazz fan's perspective.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. That's actually great that they commendable that they've already overshot their over-under. But let's think about it, man. They say the worst place to be in the NBA is in that dreaded middle ground, right?
Yep, yep.
You don't want to be a treadmill team. So, like, you know, too good to be in the lottery, but not good enough to really be a contender. And that's where Utah is going to be right now. I think at their absolute ceiling, they're a scrappy first-rounder. At the absolute floor, like you said, you clear the decks, and then you get into the lottery. But as they exist right now, they're good enough to play with almost anyone on any given night, but they're not going to beat the best teams 4 out of 7 games. So what's the real point then? What are you trying to do is the question, right? That's the tough part.
It is. It is a tough situation to be in. Again, James Holas joining us right now. Quick NBA segment, Jazz Clippers tonight, 7 o'clock. James, let's move over to another Western Conference team, the Dallas Mavericks. They have their first direct empowerment from a superstar. I always say that here we are in the player empowerment era. It's being rumored that Luka Doncic has now gone to the front office and said, hey, improve this roster. It was only a matter of time, but when we talk about teams being active, this is definitely a team that has plenty of incentive to be active over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. There's a story about a mural somebody has painted somewhere in Dallas. It's Luka, very lifelike, and he's holding up a sign that says, get me some help. And it's funny because Cuban actually has already weighed in about how disrespectful that is. But obviously from what we're hearing, it's not that disrespectful, it's a fact. And it's amazing because they had his help. Right now, Brunson is playing like at an all-star level in New York and making them, sending them from pathetic to actually like competitive. And like you got to pay him. You got to pay him. This is a franchise that's shown a history of cheaping out when they shouldn't have. They won a championship, and instead of running them back like most teams would, they let guys, key guys, leave. This is franchise malfeasance by Cuban, because you pay Brunson. That fixes everything. But now they're going to be in the hunt and trying to cobble together some deal for some second rate star. You already had him, and you would have overpaid. But that's what you do when you have a guy like Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I mean, in the form of overpaying, I think there are a number of franchises. I mean, we take the Denver Nuggets, for instance. The Denver Nuggets, in my lifetime, have not been a team that have gotten to the NBA Finals, a team that has been, outside of a couple of years with Melo, a team that has historically been a championship contender. They had to overpay in some instances over the last 3 to 4 seasons. But guess what? Right now, 31-13, best record in the Western Conference. I think the same thing. You look over in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks have had to overpay at certain times. It produced an NBA championship. It just seems like this is something that Cuban has not been able to embrace over the last decade.
It's not, and they had Dirk, and they found a diamond in the rough with that championship, and then he did not do enough to put more guys around Dirk after that. Now they have Luka, and Luka is, what, 4 years in now? No, 5 years in? And it's the exact same story. And the fact that they had a guy like Brunson who showed in the playoffs last year, hey, I can do this at a high level, and they didn't care. They let him walk. So I guess Cuban talks to this game about it's all about winning. But then it really is all about the bottom line. And when it comes to really spending money, Cuban, what he shows us is different than what he does, but then what he says.
Again, James Hollis, our guest right now here on Drive Time Sports. Quick NBA segment to kind of close out this show. James, we got to talk about the Eastern Conference. Whenever you come on the show, we have to talk about the East. Your Celtics have now won 7 consecutive, 8 out of 10. They've created a little bit of space with the Milwaukee Bucks. In the same sense, I take a look at the 76ers playing better basketball right now. The Cleveland Cavaliers actually have not played great over the last little while. We're past the midway point of the season. Is it too simple to say we have a 3-dog race right now in the Eastern Conference?
I think maybe, because we're catching Cleveland in the middle of a downturn, right? But we had this conversation in the middle of December. We've been saying the same thing about Boston. The season ebbs and flows, and I think I was probably way too critical of Boston in the last time we talked because they looked really bad. But I think, like you said, they've won 8 of 10. I want to say they've won maybe like 11 out of 13. Or 12 out of the last 14 even. They've been really rolling, and until I got no complaints with Boston. The Cavs are desperately in need of somebody to bridge the gap between Mobley and Donovan Mitchell. They need a small forward. That Okoro didn't work. Whoever they got playing now is not quite up to snuff. They've been rotating guys in, trying to find another wing guy who can defend and hit threes at a high enough level, and they don't have that. So if the Cavs can somehow, during the trade deadline, find a big wing or a big guard who can shoot a little bit and play some defense, they're going to be cooking.
I agree. I mean, I think when you look at Darius Garland, I mean, obviously running the point. I mean, Caris LeVert basically is the guy you have to go to right now with the three. It's almost like a depth move, right? They don't have to knock something out of the park. It doesn't have to be a massive blockbuster, which they really don't have the assets for, but they need to find a nice player that can roll anywhere from that 6 to 7 spot as far as depth.
I would be terrified if they could find a way to get Kuzma. I would be terrified if they could find a way to get Kuzma.
Yeah, great call.
Yeah, and what's the kid's name you just said they got? LeVert.
Yeah.
LeVert is so we can call him Trick or Treat LeVert. He's the offensive version of Tony Allen, because you never know what you're gonna get. One night he might give you 35. One night he might give you 6. And they need an upgrade who actually defend. So, again with Philly, my same question with Philly is going to be kind of like the Clippers. Even though they're further along chemistry-wise, can Embiid stay healthy? can James Harden stay on the court? Because if either one of those guys goes down, it's all up in smoke. But with those two guys on the court, yes, they can go. Philly on any given night can beat anyone.
It's James Holas again joining us to wrap things up here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. James, before I let you go, give us the info on the Dunk Tales pod.
Me and JP, we've been both busy with life right now, but we try to do it weekly. We just talk basketball and talk life and have a good time. We're nowhere near as smart as you, but we try to bring personality to it. So, yeah, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, every streaming platform, the Dunk Tales pod. You can see us.
James Holas taking out the time to join us. James, we'll catch you up next week.
You the man, brother. Thanks for not throwing me under the bus.
Have a good one, James. Out of time with this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Same time, same place. We'll see you at 6:30 for some Emory High School basketball. Until then, be safe. I am out.